Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. And for today, we're getting into a conversation about the world of travel and accommodation. We saw a bit of a downturn during the COVID years, and we've heard of the resurgence of travel. Some people have spoken about revenge travel and other types of trends. But, you know, a key piece of that is, you know, where people stay whenever they are traveling, whenever they go abroad. Whenever they go to different towns and cities, and in certain instances some people may even have a staycation where they go to a hotel in their own city. So for today, we're going to be chatting to the team from Radisson and you know, just getting an understanding of, you know, their strategy and, you know, some of the ups and downs that they've probably experienced in their business. Daniel Trapler joins us. He is a senior director for Radisson Hotel Group, Southern Africa, and we're going to be getting into that conversation. Daniel, greetings to you today.
Hi, good afternoon, Madiwa. Thanks for having me.
All right, so where I want us to begin, Daniel, maybe you can help us to locate Radisson Hotel Group. You know, many of us that live in a place like Johannesburg, we know the brand, we see it, around the city. We see Radisson Blue, we see Radisson Red, and a couple of other hotels that, you guys have, at least in this part of the country. In 2024, on the day that we're recording, on the 18th of July, what does the size and scope of the Radisson Hotel Group look like, in this region?
Yes, sure. So Radisson Hotel Group in South Africa, currently we have 11 hotels that are operating and one that is under development, which is opening in 2025. You're making reference to Sandton and Johannesburg, so I'll start with our portfolio in that region. In Sandton, it's quite well known. We have two Radisson Blue hotels, one across the road from the Gautrain and one about a kilometer down the road. The one by the Gautrain is the Radisson Blue Gautrain Hotel, and then about a kilometer down the road, we have the Radisson Blue Sandton Hotel. Those are both located in Sandton. We have a Radisson Red Hotel in Rosebank, just up the road. And then we have a large Radisson Hotel and Convention Center at O.R. Tambo International Airport. Just to make a distinction between those three different brands, our Radisson Blue Hotel is a 5-star hotel. Our Radisson Red and our Radisson brands are both 4-star hotels, but the Radisson Red brand is a lifestyle version of a 4-star hotel, and the Radisson brand is a classic version of the of our 4-star offering. Now, moving elsewhere in the country, we have three hotels currently in Cape Town: the Radisson Blue Waterfront, which is also quite well known, our Radisson Red at the V&A Waterfront, and a newly converted Radisson Foreshore Hotel, which used to be part of our Park Inn brand stable, but we converted it to a Radisson hotel. In total, that's 4 in Johannesburg, 3 in Cape Town is 7. We then also have a Radisson Blue in PE, which takes us up to 8. We have a very new Radisson Blue Hotel in Umhlanga, Durban, which is 9. We have a Park Inn by Radisson in Polokwane, which is our 10th hotel. And then our 11th newly opened hotel, which opened in February this year, is a Radisson Safari Hotel in Hoedspruit. Lastly, as I mentioned, we have one more hotel under development opening in early 2025. This is a Radisson Hotel in Middelburg in Mpumalanga.
It's actually very interesting that, we are having this conversation. I will speak at least for what you call this. I'll speak at least for myself, to say that out of the 11 hotels that you've just spoken about now, I know a couple of them. Radisson Red, I have not been to the one in Rosebank, but I've actually hosted an event at the Radisson Blue Gautrain. I've been to a number of conferences and events at the Radisson Sandton, which is down the road, and I've actually stayed, at the Park Inn that you spoke about in Cape Town, and I've also Had exposure a couple of times to the one that's by the airport. So, you know, I consider myself, you know, now that I've heard what the portfolio looks like, I think it's fair to say that I've had decent exposure to what your portfolio looks like.
Good.
And from that point of view, one of the things that I've always been curious about, this is just a curiosity on my side.
Sure.
Radisson Blu, specifically in Sandton, right? The decision to have two hotels so close to each other, why?
Well, I mean, it comes with a certain context. I mean, historically, these opportunities arose. I think the Radisson Gautrain came to pass first. It was supposed to be a taller hotel, but then it was limited in terms of height. We then had the opportunity to brand Sandton, and the most kind of convenient brand or the most appropriate brand at the time was Radisson Blu. We did not have a Radisson brand on the continent at the time. So it wasn't really, it wasn't a strategic decision made at one point in time to brand those both Radisson Blues. They both came in the context and the timing within those opportunities were presented to us. And those were the brands that we had on offer at the time. The two hotels are somewhat different in terms of their offering. They are the same brand, but they have the different life cycles of their operation. So, for example, the Radisson Blu Gautrain recently underwent a refurbishment to bring the hotel back up to kind of new brand standards, whereas the Radisson Blu Sandton still needs to reach that level, and it's getting there quite soon, the point at which we need to start refurbing that one. So in terms of guest experience, we have a loyalty to Radisson Blu Sandton. We have other people that are much more loyal to Radisson Blu Gautrain. There's a different, slightly different look and feel. But as I said, there was no kind of one point in time where we made a strategic decision to brand them both Radisson Blu. That's how they happened.
All right. It is an interesting space to be in. And one of the things that we were hoping to get a sense from you is, you know, is firstly the economy, right? A lot has been said about, you know, what the economy looks like in South Africa. We keep talking about consumers that are under strain right now. Of course, you know, travel has rebounded, you know, quite a bit compared to where we were in the COVID years. So maybe you could just talk to us around right now when it comes to, you know, Radisson's performance in South Africa. What's driving, you know, hotel stays and, you know, durations and that type of thing? Is it business travel? Is it leisure? You know, and is it international travelers? Like, what does the profile look like from that point of view?
Sure. So, I mean, it you can tell about 11 hotels are quite spread out around the country and are placed in different nodes that have different demand generated. Some are similar. Some are only business. Some are only leisure. Most cater for some kind of conferencing, etc. But just to go back to your original point about the South African economy, I mean, it's quite clear that economic conditions in South Africa have faced challenges, particularly since the global pandemic in March 2020. Interest rates have been high to contain inflation and manage government expenditure, which peaked at 11% during the course of 2023. I think despite the positive election results and the successful formation of the government of national unity, operation and implementation of the government is still to be tested. From my readings, I've noted that most economists have a view that strong political headwinds still face South Africa, and this has placed downward pressure on GDP projections, which remain below 2% for 2024 onwards. So why this is relevant is because when we talk about hotels and how the macro economy impacts a hotel, we need to think firstly, well, a hotel is an ongoing operational business. You know, it needs to pay salaries, it needs to pay heat, light, and power, it has a sales and marketing fund, there are repairs and maintenance that need to take place, etc. But at the same time, we need to consider, as you rightfully said, the impact on the macro economy and what that has on consumers, because consumers are thinking, where shall I stay? Can I afford it? What's happening with interest rates in the economy, which impacts my spending, et cetera? One of the economies which I think is very interesting to look at is the Western Cape, where despite economic hurdles, The Western Cape is emerging as a dynamic economic hub. The region has been a key focus for investors, with a number of businesses relocating to the city due to the provincial government's focus on the maintenance and development of infrastructure, including infrastructure in the tourism industry. Cape Town accounts for 60% of the national infrastructure projects, and Nedbank has added an additional 3.5 billion rand to the infrastructure pool. So the Western Cape's commitment to good governance, coupled with its strategic initiatives to attract investment and foster innovation, positions it as a leading economic hub in South Africa. So just lastly, on Cape Town, I mean, the region's focus on sectors such as technology, renewable energy, and tourism, importantly, will be key drivers of future growth, which has a knock-on effect on business travel and ultimately the hospitality sector. So when we look at each of our hotels in South Africa and what's where the demand is coming from, as I said, it depends on the location. So for our Radisson Hotel and Convention Center at OR Tambo, which has got 250 keys, most of the guests that are staying there are airline crew, or, you know, meetings and events members coming to use the convention center. Of course, there's also a bit of overnight stay from transit guests that are flying into South Africa. They might spend a night at our Radisson Hotel at OR Tambo before transferring to Radisson Hoedspruit or down to Cape Town. Whereas, so in other words, there's no leisure demand for Radisson Hotel OR Tambo. But if you look at the Radisson Blue at the waterfront in Cape Town, there's a huge leisure demand characteristic to that hotel. Same as Radisson Red V&A Waterfront. You might think, well, why would someone come and stay at the waterfront on holiday? But many people do, especially international tourists, but also regional travelers, regional households in the greater Cape Town area. There's a big demand to come and spend the weekend at the V&A Waterfront and treat yourself to two nights at the Radisson Red. So there really is different demand generators catering for different hotels that we have around the country. I mean, lastly, our Radisson Safari Hoedspruit. I mean, that's, you know, clearly catering for guests that want to explore the safari and the nature of that region, or catering for guests coming from the corporate world out of, let's say, Johannesburg, where large corporates want to come and spend 2 or 3 days offering a strategic conference, and then in the afternoons taking their staff on a safari or whatever it is. So our hotels kind of scattered around the country cater for all the different demand generators, depending on their location.
Yeah, it's an interesting one to, I guess, unpack. Like you said, you know, there's no one blanket fits all demand generator. And you guys, you know, do operate in vastly different, you know, cities, depending on what's going on. And I guess it's also great understanding, you know, the difference between, I guess, the leisure push in a place like Cape Town and the V&A Waterfront versus the more, you know, corporate and conferencing, you know, type of aspect, you know, close to the airport in Johannesburg. And one of the other reasons why I asked about the economy is because right now you guys do have plans for expansion, and you're already investing in the growth of Radisson, you know, in the region. But, you know, that investment is happening in a high interest rate environment, you know, coupled with, you know, the consumer being under pressure. Maybe you could just talk to us around the investment side of things, because, you know, some people have put off investment spend, you know, sort of waiting for interest rates to start coming down, you know, before they start plowing certain amounts of capital. You know, but I guess in your case, you're taking the risk, you know, to say, you know, we want to invest now, you know, hopefully to get, you know, some of that demand that's going to keep coming on board down the line. So maybe you could just talk to us about that.
Yeah, sure. So to be clear, Radisson Hotel Group and all of our competitors in terms of international brands do not invest in land and do not invest in the actual hotel in terms of the property itself. Radisson Hotel Group is the management company that comes in, brands the hotel, and manages the hotel on behalf of the hotel owner. Hotel owners can vary in terms of profile. They could be a property fund or an institutional fund or a high net worth individual or a consortium of high net worth individuals, could be a foreign owner, could be a precinct owner in case of the V&A waterfront. And so depending on who owns the property and what their risk profile is, will determine where they source their capital from. If an investor is looking to source capital largely from a local commercial bank in South Africa, then yes, they will have high exposure to, at the moment, interest rates in the region of 11%, which is quite difficult to earn a return on. However, if you are getting debt from a development finance institution, especially one not South African, you might have an easier time with interest rates because they have a development angle. They might offer a moratorium on interest and capital repayments. They might have a longer duration in terms of their loan period, etc. Some of the owners that we have do not rely on commercial or development banks at all. They purely use their own cash to develop. They need to deploy their cash. Their capital is patient, which is what is required in the hospitality sector. You know, when you build a hotel in South Africa, the build period is, you know, 2, maybe 3 years, depending on the project team. And once the hotel is open, the agreement with Radisson Hotel Group is for Radisson to manage the product for at least 20 years with an extension. And so it's a long horizon game. It's a long run game. It takes 2 to 3 years typically for occupancies to stabilize, for any hotel to determine within that period who its base guests are, where they're coming from, etc. And only once the hotel is ramped up can we really say that stabilized occupancy has occurred and that we can start to bring in guests from different sectors to yield additional cash flow to start paying back any debt that might be in place. So the struggle that we have in the moment in South Africa is that, you know, local commercial banks don't really have that ability to be patient. They want to start lending at high interest rates now so that development costs can be paid back, you know, quickly. And it is a problem at the moment, and it is curtailing opportunities. Unless these banks can be convinced to lend in an environment that is high yielding. And at the moment, we're really seeing that happen within the leisure sector, which is why we were able to attract local debt. Our owner was able to attract local debt for our new Radisson Safari Hotel development in Whitspread, because you can see that the returns are there. You have foreigners and locals traveling there. You have structured tour operators bringing guests there. You are able to achieve high rates in that market because of the demand for leisure, including what you referred to in your introduction around revenge travel post-COVID. So international and local and regional travelers are very drawn to leisure products. So this is certainly a market where I think banks are a little bit more interested to place their debt at the moment. Just before I finish off on that, we also recently opened a 200-key Radisson Blue on the Zambezi River in Livingstone. I know it's not South Africa, but it's still relevant because this caters for the leisure market in that region, and they were able to attract debt there as well. Although in that case, it was a pension fund that is the owner, and as it is with pension funds, they often have sufficient liquidity in-house and do not need to attract commercial debt, although sometimes they do for a minor percentage of the LTV.
In terms of the model that you've just spoken about, Daniel, it's certainly something that we do see in a number of countries, you know, globally. I'm sure some of the biggest names include Marriott, Hyatt, and others that use a similar type of model. But in this particular case, where you are having such extensive updates to the portfolio, you know, under Radisson's management, the the impetus to do something like that, is that happening on a Radisson level where perhaps you can say, okay, guys, we want to do some updates around, the portfolio, and then you go out and you coalesce, maybe start, trying to convince the owners of the different properties to make those types of investments? Or are these or are the updates sort of owner-led type of initiatives? How are those engagements done?
So these engagements are done through ongoing communication between the hotel owner and Radisson Hotel Group. There's a budgetary process in place where our budget meetings happen, depending on the hotel, happen once or twice a year. During that budget time of meeting, an analysis is done of the state of repair of the hotel and whether that state of repair can be catered for simply by accessing the FF&E Reserve Fund, which stands for Furniture, Fixtures and Equipment Fund, which is a fund that each hotel has that accumulates a certain percentage of revenue each year, which is then allocated and deployed to repair furniture, fixtures and equipment or replace them. If a large refurbishment is required, which is larger, which financially requires more capital than is available in the FF&E fund, then these conversations can extend to lenders or shareholder capital. And a plan is put in place, which we refer to as a property improvement plan or a PIP or a PIP. And that property improvement plan is often funded by a commercial bank, usually the incumbent commercial bank. For example, our Park Inn by Radisson Foreshore, which was recently rebranded and upgraded to a Radisson Hotel Foreshore, was funding provided by a local commercial bank that the owner of that hotel has a good relationship with. The Radisson Blue Gautrain recent refurbishment and upliftment, that was funds that purely came out of the FF&E reserve. The ongoing property improvement plan underway at Radisson Blue Waterfront, again, no external funding was required. This was purely done by the Furniture, Fixtures and Equipment Reserve. And, Radisson Hotel Group might assist with some injection of funds as well out of goodwill.
All right, that makes sense. And I guess that collaborative type of approach is probably what's needed to make something, to make something like that happen, managing the relationship, especially where you've got different owners, the same brand that's being managed, across the portfolio. I think lastly, before we let you go, Daniel, is when it comes to the expansion that you just spoke about now, could you just talk to us about, some of the rationale that goes into where you are expanding into? I think it's almost an extension of the conversation we've just had now, upgrades and, that type of thing, because there's this relationship you have to have with owners. If you're opening up, new locations, because I think in the research I did, there's, the targeting secondary cities such as Bloemfontein, East London, Pretoria and the like. Do you guys sort of do the research, go into the markets and identify owners? Or once again, is it, perhaps, people with the funds that, will approach a Radisson and say, hey, guys, we think that a Radisson would do well in XYZ city or XYZ town?
So it happens both ways. I mean, there is the opportunity to sit back and wait for landowners and property developers or property investors to approach us with opportunities in, as you said, Bloemfontein, Nelspruit, Pretoria, East London, etc. But at Radisson Hotel Group, we like to be a bit more proactive than that. So the answer to your question is yes, we certainly go out into these markets. We identify who the players are in the industry, who the stakeholders are, who we can partner with to make sure that we have the right location and the right development team and the right owner to do, let's say, a Radisson Blue in Menland, which is something that we'd really like to do, or a Park Inn by Radisson in Bloemfontein, being a secondary city. Bloemfontein the rates that a hotel can achieve there would be more of an upper mid-scale level. So we would target our upper mid-scale product there, which is a Park Inn by Radisson. You know, we'd love to do a Radisson, a classic upscale hotel in Nelspruit, in Mbombela. And what we do there is we're busy identifying who our potential partners could be in that market. If you sit back and wait for the market to come to you, then there's no ways we will be able to achieve the aggressive growth plan that we have to double our portfolio in the next kind of 5 years. So we are proactive, but of course, because the brand is well known, we also get approached by industry players.
All right. It's a very interesting one, and I think that's where we end off for today, just getting some key insight, into what's going on in the hotel, and accommodation space specifically, under the Radisson brand, understanding, the fact that they are, a hotel group that is managing the hotels on behalf, of the owners, talking quite a bit about the economy, the fact that, we are in a downturn. Yes, there was COVID, and after COVID, we've had a lot of recovery, but there is still some depression, especially amongst consumers. Some of the businesses have reduced some of their spending, but Radisson is bullish about the market. They are investing in growth and expansion plans, and those plans, they aren't. It's not done by themselves. There is constant engagement. With the owners of the hotels, you've got financiers that are helping to, make the capital, allocations happen. And we spoke quite a bit about what the current interest rate environment is doing. And one of the things that, Daniel was letting us know is the fact that at least for now, it does seem as if the lenders are a bit more amenable right now, to opportunities, in the hotel space. So, at least there's good reception from that point of view, and also just some of the rationale that they consider, when it comes to, where they're going to open up a new location. And he says that, it can be a hybrid approach, but as Radisson, they do go out, look at the market, see where the opportunities are, identify who they can partner with, and then take it from there. Anything else to add, Daniel, before we let you go?
I mean, yeah, I would like to say, in conclusion, the short-term outlook for the South African economy is that it is strengthening, with a lengthened road to recovery still ahead. International tourist arrivals are steadily increasing. However, recovery to pre-COVID levels has not yet been realized on a national level. Cape Town itself remains one of the most popular destinations on the continent, which is boosted by ongoing public and private sector initiatives focused on positioning the city as a leisure and economic hub in Africa. So it caters for all demand types. And in summary, while South Africa's economic and political environment faces ongoing challenges, the country demonstrates resilience and potential for growth, which we believe in.
Definitely.
In fact, as foreign investment, a strengthening currency, and a recovering tourism industry, particularly in the Western Cape, offer a hopeful outlook for continued growth and development. And we want to be here to be a part of that. So thanks for your time.
A hopeful outlook indeed. So that was us. We were in a conversation with Daniel Trepler, who is a senior director for Sub-Saharan Africa at Radisson Hotel Group. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Madiba. Keep well.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.